In his new book, Mission to Mars, My Vision for Space Exploration, Buzz Aldrin lays out his goals for the space program while spotlighting some of the most important issues facing our nation's space program today. He argues passionately for pushing our boundaries of knowledge and exploration of our solar system and presents his unified space vision. Buzz Aldrin is best known for his Apollo 11 moonwalk. It's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. Great pleasure.
You bet. Happy to join your roundtable.
Very nice to have you on the program. Why is Mars so important, do you think?
Well, it is the only best other planetary system in our solar system, and the life conditions there are capable of supporting life with assistance initially from Earth. There we can establish a sustaining, growing colony. And I think with world conditions the way they are, U.S. leadership in that visible advancing of technology, inspiration for all of humanity is a very necessary challenge for us to live up to. We've done this sort of thing before, and hopefully we will do this again, despite the adverse conditions going on in the world today. There were not too pleasant conditions in the late 60s and 70s when we went to the moon. So we can do that again. We did have a joint mission with the Soviet Union, Apollo Soyuz, 1975. The Cold War was quite contentious. The 40th anniversary of that is coming up in July. It's an appropriate time to begin to look very closely at the advantages of our establishing limited space relations with China in low Earth orbit and beyond for human space flight, peaceful purposes. It certainly worked with the Soviet Union and then Russia, leading to the International Space Station cooperation.
You start off the book by talking about your meeting with President Barack Obama in April of 2010 as the president was making a space policy speech in Florida. That was 5 years ago. So what have we done in that 5 years, and where do you believe we need to go?
Well, he used the words about the moon, been there, done that. He certainly didn't get them from me. We just can't ignore the moon. I think we can help to use our experience to gather together other nations by not competing with them, not only cooperating, but helping them in many ways. Those ways that we help them can be very crucial to our setting up advanced living facilities on the surface of Mars and then carrying out the human transportation for all nations, establishing permanence on Mars. I believe within 2 decades of the 50th anniversary of the first landings on the moon in the golden Apollo legacy time period.
So you do believe that collaboration is the key to this?
Well, we didn't really need that much cooperation. We got some from neighboring countries to be able to challenge and then succeed in reaching the moon before the Soviet Union did. And then, as I say, we did establish good working relationships with them. And I think that sort of thing can also and should be done in a guarded, limited way with China. We do need other nations. No one nation, the U.S. Or China or Russia, can carry out major settlements on another planet and do that all by themselves. It's got to be and should be an international cooperative event.
You point out in the first chapter of the book, 8 years after President Kennedy committed us to strive for the impossible, Neil Armstrong and I walked across the sun-drenched terrain of the moon. Nearly a billion people all over the world watched and listened, and as we ventured across that magnificent desolation. Do you see anything ever happening like that again, where there is that call for the impossible and we come together to do it?
I certainly hope so, and it's going to take an informed, supportive society to realize what the consequences are of U.S. leadership not allowing other nations to take away that greatness of exceptional Americanism that many of us saw lead the world during World War II to success and then to overcome the falling behind in technology evidenced by German V-2 rockets and Sputnik. And we responded much to the appreciation of the American people and worldwide for that matter.
You point out in the book a unified space vision, and just in a nutshell, tell us what this entails, because it basically is a program that will bring us into 2040.
Well, the word unified comes about because President Bush's plan for the future was vision for space exploration. And a vision for space involves more than exploration, and that's why I unified space vision by unifying exploration, robotic and human, for science purposes that can then be developed and then hopefully lead to commercial profits, all of which support national security. So those are five different objectives of our space policy. They need to be unified in my suggestions for the future, which I hope will be gradually adopted with appropriate modification by the nation. And then as my think tank appraises the successes and the decisions not so good in our past, so we can learn from that and then look to the future in an overall way using recognized experts in space of the past that we term counselors that would lead to informing our nation and the American people in a better way to establish strategic space objectives in the same way. All of this could be leading toward an international space council that brings about leadership by the U.S. of all the nations of the world to fulfill the melding together of my ideas, the national ideas, and those of other nations.
When it comes to selling this to people and understanding, what do you use as a model of what we get out of it, of what the return in that investment will be? My question is, what do you use, like, what is the return for us in this mission to Mars, in your vision for space exploration? What do you see our return being? What do you see us getting out of this that is the greater good that is worth the investment?
Development of my ideas has led to a very important study by the Purdue University called the Aldrin-Purdue Spacecraft Design Study, and my ideas have reached the international people, and they wish to follow this study with an international study by the International Astronautical Federation. We'll be reporting on these things in Jerusalem at the International Astronautical Conference, Congress, Convention in October, and gradually the realization that we just can't do leadership activities in space with a 0.5% of our discretionary funding, which is what NASA has been receiving for at least the last 10 years. It took about 4% for us to get a few people to land briefly on the moon, which was far simpler than establishing a growing permanence of humanity of all nations on another planet in the solar system.
Well, the new book is Mission to Mars, My Vision for Space Exploration. It's published by National Geographic. Buzz Aldrin, it's a great honor and pleasure to speak to you. I thank you very much for taking the time, and I wish you all the luck in your efforts, and I thank you for your wonderful work.
Yeah, we need to inspire people and communicate this to all the American people for support.
Thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate it. Again, Buzz Aldrin is the author of the book Mission to Mars, My Vision for Space Exploration. It's published by National Geographic. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.